Hello and good evening from Yerushalayim. Tonight, Baruch Hashem here from Yerushalayim, we'll talk about two subjects. One is we'll discuss the subject of Tchum Shabbos and Tchum Yom Tov, which the main Masechta, which actually discusses the Tchum, is in Masechta Erevin, but it also appears over here in Masechta's Beitza at the end. So we'll discuss a little of the practical application, some of the modern problems that we have in applying Tchum Shabbos and understanding Tchum Shabbos, and we'll also discuss the district's Parsha Vayishlach, the story of Kores Rachel. We'll try to find the Sifun Pesukim to understand how that fits in with what we know is traditionally where Kever Rachel is in Abikah. In the Torah, all it says is Shvuish Tachta Valyeitze Yish Mukoma Bayam Ashvi. A person, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klaus in the Midbar, Shvuish Tachta, sit where you are, Valyeitze Yish Mukoma, no one should go out of his place Bayam Ashvi. And Chazal adores from that the use of Tchumin, Tchum Shabbos 2000 Amos. Now let it walk outside 2000 Amos. Briefly, we'll mention that there is a Tchum Shabbos Daraisa according to most Rishonim, and that is 12 mil. Mentioned more in Rishonim, it's not so much mentioned in the Bavli, but 12 mil, why 12 mil? Because Shvuish Tachtov, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him stay where you are, and we know that the size of the Machne Yisrael was 3 parsos, by 3 parsos, which is 12 mil. And the Gemara mentions an Erev in Rabbi Bar Bachana says, I saw the place, and we pretty much know where the place is today. It's in Jordan, opposite Yericho. We can actually pinpoint the place where they sat and where Klal Yisrael were camped. And he says he saw the site, and it was 3 mil by 3 mil, 3 parsos, which means 12 mil. And based on that, this Chum Shabbos Daraisa of 12 mil. But the Rabbanon, there's an issue Rabbanon of going more than 2,000 amos. Nowadays, many of us live in a metropolis, so the issue of Chum Shabbos is not always so relevant, so practical, because when you live in a city, you're allowed to go the entire distance of the whole city. And the Chum Shabbos only begins after A, you went out of the city, and B, you square out the city, meaning you make this you make a square around the boundaries of the city, and from there you start counting 2,000 amos. If you live in New York, in New York City, the chances are that you can walk a whole day and still not get outside, not even to start counting the Tchum Shabbos. So the practical issue of Tchum Shabbos in the metropolis. Oh, we will see. There is one issue raised, but in general, there's no. A person never runs into trouble. But a person should know the halachas, and sometimes a person could run into trouble. What do we know from Tchum Shabbos? What do we know the different places that I mentioned? One place in Sefer Yehoshua, where they're commanded to go by the Aron and to keep a distance no more than 2,000 amos. You shouldn't keep more than 2,000 amos distance from the Aron, and Rashi brings that the reason why they were limited 2,000 amos was because they were going to capture the city of Yericho on Shabbos, and therefore they were, Yeshua warned them that they should be within 2,000 amos so that they can come and daven for the Aron, they can daven before the Aron on Shabbos. So that's the only mention of 2,000 amos in Tanakh. 2,000 amos is, the distance is a mil, which we spoke about at length in one of our earlier shiurim, how long the time it takes to walk, if it's 18 minutes or less, or 22 minutes, etc. Interestingly, the word mil, a Latin word, which comes from the word millennium. And millennium is 1,000, and mile means 2,000. And the word mil comes from the word mile pesos, meaning 2,000 steps. That's what the word mil means. And this, we have an interesting Gemara, and you have it in the source pages for Tchum Shabbos, the first source page on Erev and Daf and Beis. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Hayo mahalech v'nida Tchum Shabbos. If a person is walking, and he doesn't know how far Tchum Shabbos is, because we soon see that Tchum Shabbos is very was marked in different places, until here you can go on Shabbos. But if a person is walking in a place where he's not familiar with, and he doesn't know Tchum Shabbos, Ma'alach Alfayim Sif Beinonias. He walks 2,000 medium-sized steps, Uzer Tchum Shabbos. So in other words, the average step that the person takes, a medium-sized step, is an amma, and he can walk 2,000 steps, and that's Tchum Shabbos. So again, that's as consistent as what we said with the fact that the word mil actually, by definition, means 2,000 steps. In the time of the Gemara, as we said, it's complicated to measure the Tchum Shabbos for various reasons. It's easy to measure 2,000 amos, but to know how, from where to begin to measure 2,000 amos, especially in those days where they didn't have aerial photographs, so to start squaring out the city was probably not the easiest thing. And the second thing, which was also probably more complicated, was that if there were mountains or valleys surrounding the city, the issue of how much, how deep do you count the mountain? Do you count the mountain as a slope? Does the entire slope of the mountain go? Or do you count the mountain in the aerial view? How much it goes is very complex. And you need mumchim, and that's why the missionary even says, "En show, en moridim elam en mumchim." You have experts who know how to measure. It seems that the Tchum Shabbos was marked, and one archaeological artifact that actually was found from Tchum Shabbos can be found. We have on the picture source page. We have two sources over here. Number one, the Old Rusha Project. If you click on that. You will see a page which is devoted to Usha, a couple of words about Usha. When the Sanhedrin wandered from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, says the Sanhedrin wandered 10 times from Lishkas HaGozes through Yerushalayim to Yavne, and from there went up north to a place called Usha. And by Usha, near the remains, the ruins of Usha, there's a stone. And you can see a sketch of the stone on this side, and picture number two, you can actually see the writing on the stone, which says in Greek, Tchum Shabbos. In other words, it's etched on the stone that this is the Tchum Shabbos, presumably the Tchum Shabbos of Usha nearby. Now, it'd be very hard to start measuring exactly and knowing how much distance is, and when we start getting to know exactly the Amma, first of all, we don't know exactly the extent of the Yishuv of Usha, how far it reached. It's kind of impossible to know. First of all, it wasn't excavated. But even if it was excavated, there could have been small huts or shacks or nearby that no archaeological traces of it remained, and they measured from farther out. So it's really, it'd be nice to measure and to get an idea, but it's very hard to know. Furthermore, like we have a similar thing in Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara talks about the people of Chamson and Geder, that Rebbe was Mesaken, that the people from one town, Shibne Geder, Yordim Lechamson, Vemne Chamson, Olim Legeder. These are two cities near a place called Hamad Geder today, on the border between Israel, Jordan, and Syria, near the Yarmouk River. And Rebbe made a tekana that the people of on Shabbos, the people of Geder can go down to Chamson, but the people of Chamson cannot climb up to Geder. And there's a whole discussion of Gemara, why the difference, why the discrimination against the people of Geder not going up to Chamson. But anyway, if you measure it on the map, it seems to be much more than the Tchum Shabbos. If you measure the distance between the two on the map, based on what we know where Geder sat, we know where Chamson sat, there's archaeological evidence of both, and it's impossible, again, because it could be the main city, we know, but the small little shacks and stuff like that, which extended, it's impossible to know. They don't leave any archaeological trace. And therefore, it'd be impossible for us to based on archaeology, to reconstruct exactly how much the distance was, is not going to be an easy task. Roman milestones, as you can see on the picture, number three, appear in Eretz Yisrael in abundance. The Romans built a whole network of roads all over the country for their own use, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, the famous town of Shem Bar Yochai, where they built the roads, the bridges, the Tome Meches. They built it for their own use, and every mile or so, there would be a stone telling you how far the distance is from the next city. Now, they're not always consistent in the distance, and they're not perfectly measured like you'd expect something. If you go today, Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, every kilometer, every tenth of a kilometer, there's a marker saying, no, it's exactly measured. In ancient times, they weren't so particular to have the exact measurements, but milestones are found all over the place in Eretz Yisrael. Some of them do not carry any names whatsoever, no mention. It's just the fact that it's there. But others actually carry the name of the emperor who built this road or fixed up this road, and how much a distance is to the next city. So these are, as I said, they're not exactly consistent in the distance between them to know. Well, what do we know? When we talk about an Amah, there are different opinions among the Poskim how much an Amah is. The most known in Eretz Yisrael is the Shita of Chaim Noah, where an Amah is 48 centimeters, and the opinion of the Chazon Ish, where an Amah is 60 centimeters. There are some in between, 52 and a half centimeters, Chasson Sofer, Rav Moshe, I think, also. People were hoping, you know, that archaeology would solve the problem. So first of all, whether or not archaeology can be, is accepted to Paskin Halacha, that's another issue, which we're not coming to raise here. I can mention, for example, that the issue of the size of the olives, which was a question, are the olives today the same size as they were then, or are they less, are they smaller? In archaeology, the olives today are exactly within the ballpark of what they were. But when it came to measuring Amos, that's where things became very confusing. Because, first of all, from the Gemara itself, we know that there's different types of Amos. There's an Amos that has 5 tefachim in it. There's an Amos that has 6 tefachim in it. There's an Amos Ochkos, and there's Amos Atzevos. So even in the Gemara itself, the Amos is not necessarily always the same particular Amos. And in archaeology, it's no different. There are different Amos of different sizes, and therefore archaeology doesn't solve the problem for us. But what we do have over here, number 4, we have an ancient Amos stone. Take a good look at this stone. This stone is found in the southern wall excavations right outside of Har HaBayis. And you see the 2 holes in the center, which probably had a metal hook, and the metal hook was used to pull up this lift up the stone, and underneath there's a manhole that led to the sewer system that ran underneath the pavement. This dates back to the days of the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. If we say Herodian, King Agrippa's, for surely the days of the second Beis HaMikdash. What's special about this? The size of the stone, which measures 56 by 56 centimeters, and which is very close to the Chazon Ish's Amah. I said the Chazon Ish's Amah is 60, but it's a drop less. And it's interesting is that there is other evidence that the Amah used around the Beis HaMikdash in the Herodian period was an Amah of 56 centimeters. We know that the gates of the Har HaBayis were 20 by 10, and indeed the width of the width of the gate of Warren's Gate, which is one of the 4 gates in the Kosa Maravi, also fits with that fits with those dimensions. Other gates, if we put them at the dimensions of 56 centimeters, they fit the 25 width, which is the gates of Yecheskel. So there's definitely evidence that this stone over here is not by coincidence 56, but it's meant to be an Amah. We know in the Mishnah, in Maseches Nidos, 3 times is a mention of a stone which was an Amah by an Amah, which is meant to be lifted out of place. One was by the Mizbeach, and another one was at the entrance to the Heichal, where they used to take the dirt for the Sota, so it was also Tavla of Amah Lama, and a third is in the Beis HaMoked, there was a Tavla Amah Lama. So stones that were Amah by Amah were common in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't mention at least of 3 of them. And the fact that this stone over here measures 56 by 56, safe to believe that this is an Amah. Okay, so this matches the Chazon Ish's Amah. But on the other hand, as I said, the archaeology does not solve this problem. When the Mishnah in Bava Basra talks about the size of the kuchen, the size of the kvarim that they used to dig into the caves to bury people, and the size over there are 4 amos by 4 amos in length and 1 amos wide and 6 tefachim wide and 7 amos tall, or vice versa. But the bottom line is we're talking about 4 amos by 6 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and almost all the kuchim that have been found in Yerushalayim are 2 meters deep, which means we're talking about an Amah of 50 centimeters. So when it comes to measuring the size of the kuchen, the kvarim, around Yerushalayim, they're about 2 meters deep, and and by 50 by 60 centimeters, which means we're talking very close to an amma of 50 centimeters. So as we see, archaeology does not serve as any absolute proof in this case, because we have different types of ammas in archaeology also. And as we said, we know from Chazal that there were different types of ammas. So it's not, we can't prove, we cannot prove from archaeology how much the amma was. And again, to measure Tchum Shamas, even though we have the stone from Musha, it's impossible to know where they started counting from. So it's very difficult. But what's interesting about this stone, a very interesting thing, if we go to the back to our Hebrew source page, we have a very interesting story over here. Gemara Sanhedrin Yudalid. Hamachas goes on Machas Arisha Gzera Al Yisrael. One time the Roman government made a Gzera. They said, Shekola Somach Yehorek, Vecholanis Mach Yehorek. Whoever gives smicha will be killed. Whoever gets smicha will be killed. Ve'ir Shesomchem Batechorek. And not only the people themselves will be killed, but the city that smicha was given in will also be destroyed. U'tchumin Shesomchem Behen Yehorek. And the tchum around the city will also be uprooted. Ma'asa Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Halach v'yashav lo ben shnei harim gedolim ben shnei yoros gedolos. He sat between two large mountains and two big cities. Ben shnei tchumei Shabbos ben Usha l'Shparam. And he sat between two tchumei Shabbos, between Usha and Shparam. Usha and Shparam, Shparam to this very day is known. There's an Arab village there, shul from modern times. We could say 200-300 years ago. And Usha, which the ruins of it are known, pretty much identified. Now, between the two, in the center, the Gemara tells the story of Yehuda ben Bava gave smicha, and when the Romans realized what's happening, they came to chase him. Yehuda ben Bava said to the Talmidim, he says, he's too old, he can't run away, he's not going to make it. But he told everyone else to run away, and they all scattered, and he was killed and buried there. And indeed, between those Tchum Shabbos, you have a burial cave, which is the Ma'ara of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. And in modern times, the Israeli governmental committee for naming places named the nearby intersection Somet Somech. The intersection, the junction of Somech, is where they gave smicha, based on that incident. But the interesting is that it seems when this stone was discovered in the 40s, the stone of Tchum Shabbos, we see clearly that the cave of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is outside the Tchum Shabbos of Usha. So that matches what we know, that the smicha took place outside of the Tchum Shabbos. A couple of other mentionings of people who would be able to walk a certain distances on Shabbos from one place to another, places that we know. Source number 2-1. Ram Rav Yossi. Yehi chalki mimachnis Shabbos b'tiverio or mimoytzi Shabbos b'tzipori. Rabbi Yossi says, my chelik should be from those people who are makabel Shabbos in Tiberia, and by the end of Shabbos, they have yitzias of Shabbos in Tzipori. Why? What does this mean? So first of all, we understand that Tiberia is in a low place, and the sun sets very early. So the people in Tiberia are makabel Shabbos early because the sun sets, it's sitting right behind a mountain to the west, and therefore the sun sets very early. If you come to Tiberia, In the late afternoon, you'll be already in the Tiberia will be in the shade, even in now before the sun sets. While Tzipori, as the Gemara says, the Shevet Barosh Ha'arka Tzipori, Tzipori is sitting on top of a mountain, and therefore they can see the sun much later. So Rabbi Yossi says, my chelik should be from those people on Mekabel Shabbos in Tiberia, meaning the Mekabel Shabbos early, and Motzi Shabbos, they end Shabbos in Tzipori, because in Tzipori they end late, because they can see the sun much later. Now, the Yerushalmi says a very interesting thing. The Yerushalmi says it's not just, you know, these people are good here and these people are good here. But the Yerushalmi says that it was possible to walk from Tiberia to Tzipori on Shabbos. In other words, he's saying it would be a good idea if you could be Mekabel Shabbos Tiberia on Friday night and then walk to Tzipori and end Shabbos in Tzipori. Now, how much is the distance between Tiberia and Tzipori? It is very far, much more than Tchum Shabbos. The road between Tiberia and Tzipori is known today, and was known in those days. It's mentioned a few times in the Yerushalmi, and in the Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, we know that it's a distance of 16 miles from Tveria to Tzipor. 60 mil, that's 16 Tchumei Shabbos. How can he walk 16 Tchumei Shabbos? And Yerushalmi says, oh, they burgon in, you have these little shacks along the way, and since you have the shacks along the way, they connect to each other, and since they connect to each other, so it's, since they connect to each other, so therefore you don't start counting Tchum Shabbos. So again, archaeology, of course, will never find these shacks, which were temporary things, but it was possible to walk all the way from Tveria to Tzipor. We have another source over here, source 4.1. I'm Rav Yehuda. Ma'ase ba'anche beis mamal, uva'anche beis guryon baruma, shemachalkim grogos v'timukim anim b'shnei batzoros. The people, the families, anche beis mamal, anche beis guryon, lived in a place called Ruma, and they would give out dried figs and raisins to the poor people with Shnei Batoros and famine years. The poor people from Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananiah would spend the night along the way so that they'd be within Tchum Shabbos. The next day they get up early and walk to Ruma, and that's how they had food to eat. So in other words, basically Yerushalmi is saying that between Ruma and Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananiah, respectively, was two Tchumei Shabbos basically, and you slept in the middle, you were able to come on Shabbos. Where is Kfar Hanani? Where's Kfar Shichin? Shichin had not been known for many years, but in recent years it's believed to be identified near Tzipori. We know from a bunch of sources that Shichin is near Tzipori, and this is a very interesting thing. We brought the other sources which seemingly don't have anything to do with it. We'll soon see how they have what to do with it. We take the source over here from the Gemara Bava Metzia, that Afayin Dalid talks about Beitim Shel Yotzer. It talks about taking the clay. It talks about taking the clay and preparing it for making clay cheres. And Arab Yossi by Medivar Mamurim Bafar Lovan. When the white dirt, which is expensive and rare, is you cannot set a price until the person has it. Avav Ba'afar Shachar. With black dirt, Kegon Kfar Hanani V'Chavoseh, Kfar Shichin V'Chavoseh, Poskim. When it comes to black dirt, which was common, so then you can set a price even though the person doesn't have, since it's readily available on the market, it's okay. Now, this has to do with the concept of interest, which we're not going to go into now. But what's interesting is we see from this and from other Gemaras and the next Gemara in Shabbos that Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananiah were two places where they produced clay cheres. This is one thing that modern archaeology is very helpful. In modern archaeology today, they take they find pottery, clay cheres, and clay cheres is very hard to date precisely when they were made because it's not organic material. So we know kind of the general period when they use this type of whatever, this type of pottery, but there's no way of actually dating it. But the one thing that it is possible today to do is to pinpoint where the clay originally came from. Because each place in the ground has its own mineral, has some composite of minerals, and today they take these things, they put it what's known as neutron analysis tests and other tests, and they're able to actually know where this was manufactured. And it turned out that all the kelim found in the Galil and the Golan from the Mishnah and Talmud period, 50% of them were manufactured for Hananiah. 50%, 5-0. All the way throughout the Golan, and also others were manufactured in Shichin. And with this, they were able to identify the location of Kfar Hananiah, which was fairly known, and they actually found the furnace where they made them, and also Shichin. So Shichin is near Tzipori, and from Tzipori to Aruma, which is probably identified with Ruma. Today, there's a Jewish moshav there, Beit Rimon, and an Arab town called Ruma al-Hib. It's definitely within distance that a person can walk and sleep along the way and the next morning get up and make it from Shichin to Ruma. That's within. But Kfar Hananiah is way out of the ballpark. To consider within two Tchum Shabbos, close to impossible. Very, very far away. I don't have an answer for this. I could just say that in the original Gerson and Tosefta, it doesn't mention Kfar Hananiah. All it mentions is Anir Kfar Shichin. It doesn't mention Kfar Hananiah. The Gra puts it in. Again, I'm saying in the original Gerson Tosefta, all it mentions is Anikva Shichin. Anikva Shichin fits in. Again, we don't know because it could be, again, you had these small shacks and stuff like that, Burgundy, so there's never really a way to know. But I'm saying if we look at the straight map, it'll be close to, if we look at the straight map, it'll be close to impossible to actually pinpoint, to put people from Kvachanani to make it all the way to Ruma. It's way past the Tchum Shabbos. A couple things about modern issues in Tchumen, very briefly. One is like this. When a city ends, in other words, you have a house and another house and another house, you keep on counting until you get to the end of the city. But if the house is outside of 70 amah v'shirayim, which means more than 42, 43 meters, so then it's already considered a new city. And if it's a new city, so then you have to start, you already start counting the Tchum Shabbos right away. So the problem is that if you have wide streets like you have today, which are 70 amah wide, 42 v'shirayim, the question is how you combine the city. Now the question is practical in Yerushalayim with the Sderot Herzl, which cuts the city, and the problem is in Tel Aviv with the Ayalon highway, and the problem could be in any modern city today which has a big highway that cuts the city into two. So if it curves, it's less of a problem. But if it's straight, like Netivei Ayalon, it is it can be a problem of tchum. Because when you cross Netivei Ayalon, it's actually crossed more than 70 amos, and now you have to start counting tchum Shabbos. I'm not going in to solve the problem. The many poskim harmekel, they say, considered part of the city nonetheless. I'm saying that's one issue. Another issue is a person who goes outside of the tchum, Tzarech Mitzvah. First, walks outside of the Tchum, then he's not allowed to walk more than 4 hours. He's stuck within the 4 hours, even if you walk the Shogeg. But if a person goes out, Beheter, for medical emergency, or something like that, so then, A, he gets into a city, he's allowed to walk that entire city. And then the issue is, can he go back Limkoma or not? And again, I'm not going to pass Halacha, but this is one of the issues with the Yatzalah people that go on Shabbos. It's not just an issue of Tchumen. This issue is discussed in Rosh Hashanah, which comes after Beit Zis, so we'll leave some time for that too. But people go out to Letzarech Mitzvah, and if they won't be able to come back, then they won't go out in the first place. So that's the question, Yitir Sofa Mishum Tchiloso or not. Can we matter the person to go back home, even though it will involve Chol Shabbos and Yom Tov? And what's interesting in that Tzela issue, if I remember correctly, Rav Moshe was Mekel. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, though, felt you cannot be Mekel by Yisurim Daraisa. You can only be Mekel by Yisurim Rabbanan. So if the issue is just a Tchum, so then that's okay. But if the issue becomes already an Yisur Daraisa, so then that's already a separate issue. So Tchumen, again, in the metropolis you won't have a problem, but in Eretz Yisrael, a woman goes to give birth and she comes from outside Yerushalayim from Beit Shemesh on Shabbos to give birth in Yerushalayim, so then the person is outside the Tchum, he can walk around the entire Yerushalayim because he went out for Shus. He can walk out the entire city. To go back home, he of course cannot go back home. But the question is, let's say the driver who drove them, can they go back home? That's already a whole issue. I was once at the hospital in Shaar Tzedek, and this woman came from all the way from Pnei Cheva, which is near Chevron, in an ambulance, and from drive. And I asked the guy, I said, "You allowed to go back?" He says, "I'm allowed to go back." I wasn't passing for him. I'm sure he asked the shell and whatever. But it could be also that it's like the only ambulance in the yeshiva and it's near an hour place and they need it and whatever. And I'm not going into the whole discussion of what, the whole discussion of the halachas, but I'm saying it's the yeshiva of Tchum. It is practical. In the mountains, people walk, they go for a tiyul on Shabbos or whatever. There have been stories of people who walked outside of the Tchum Shabbos where they were. It's, again, in a large city, it's not going to happen, but in the small cities, it can be a problem.